The Jaguars.com post-game report, the Jaguars fall to the Chicago Bears 20-19. But, Tony, I think the tempo that was established early on, particularly for the Chad Henne-led offense, was very impressive, and it was exactly what you wanted to see.
Oh, absolutely. You know, last week we talked about quite a bit how Blake looked great, but the first offense, the guys were going to be starting on Sundays at the beginning of the season, were really shaky up front. They weren't very good, and it was really a slow start. Complete opposite this game from the first drive that controlled the tempo, that controlled the line of scrimmage, and that's how you control the tempo. And I thought Chad Henne was very sharp, threw a very accurate ball down the field, and Marquise Lee got involved, which is always good to see, and Toby Gerhart breaking off runs. Not much negative to say about how that first offense performed.
I think you brought up two good points, because the two components that you wanted to see get involved with the offense was Marquise Lee, who you expect him to be a starter right away. He ended up with the ball game, four catches for 27 yards and had the touchdown. Toby Gerhart didn't have eye-popping numbers, but he ended up breaking off an 18-yard run, and then early on had a powerful 6-yard run. I mean, those are the signs that you look for in the preseason.
And he had a catch out of the backfield, which I think he's going to be very good at doing this year. And the 18-yard run was great. It was very well blocked. He hit the crease and showed the explosiveness. But the first run of the day was my favorite run, because he got in there, only it looked like there was about 2 yards, and drove his legs and used the power and the big body that he has to get six. I think that's the style of running back that Toby Gerhart is going to be, a powerful, bruising back. Not that he can't break out the big runs because he has the speed, but he is a downhill guy, and we saw that early.
Let's talk about the offensive line, and in particular the center position, because that's the number one position right now that really is up for grabs. I mean, a lot of people are going to say, well, hey, quarterback is also a possibility. I wouldn't say that, but the center position certainly is. We saw a number of different guys in there. Mike Brewster, Luke Bowanko, who ended up leaving the game with an injury, Brandon Linder. Your overall impressions of the center play tonight?
You know, I thought Mike Brewster did some nice things, but they also was a little inconsistent, gave up a sack, and ended up holding on the same play. Bowanko, well, you like his athletic ability, and we watched it in the replays. He really does a great job of getting up to the next level on the linebackers. I think the best center I saw out there tonight was Brandon Linder, though. He was physical. He can reach a one very easily. He can hold up in pass rush. Now, he was doing it against number twos, and so you got to take that all into consideration. But, boy, based on his performance, it was very impressive. The question you have, though, is with Luke Bowanko getting hurt, because when Linder was the center, Bowanko was the right guard. We'll wait for the status report of what his injury is all about. But who do you play at right guard? Is it McClendon if you start Linder at center? Linder looked very good.
All right, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, let's bring in starting tight end Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes, thanks for coming on. Squeeze on in here a little bit. Last week, you used the term on the sideline dope and talking about Blake Bortles. I think you could probably use that term for your starter, Chad Henne, tonight. I thought his performance was smooth. Your tempo offensively was outstanding.
Man, and that's something that, you know, we've been practicing this whole time, and really trying to just, you know, get our identity. But at the same time, let's do it with some tempo. Let's put some pressure on the defense. And I think Chad did a great job of that tonight.
Biggest difference to me from last week to this week was your success on first and second down, where all of a sudden now you're looking at third and twos, third and threes, third and fours instead of third and seven, eight plus.
And that's really what you aim for. You want to make it easier on yourself in the later downs. And tonight, you know, that was one of our emphases, as it is every day when we practice. And tonight was no different.
All right. One of the guys that had a really nice performance tonight was Marquise Lee. I know he went to USC, you know, which was kind of the rival at UCLA, but your impressions of him in his second preseason game?
I'm so proud of him. You know, he's a guy that wants to be great. He's a guy that's humble. He asks a lot of questions, so I feel like he's going to be one of those guys that, you know, as he continues to stack up the days and grow as a receiver, he's going to be a good player for a long time.
Your defense tonight had a pretty good challenge. Jay Cutler, two big wide receivers, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, and they seemed to do a very good job. Didn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but your defense seems to be taking that next step as well.
They're solid. They're solid, you know. It's like a bend but don't break kind of mentality. They're out there all playing for each other. We understand that, you know, if we're going to take this thing to where we want to go, we're going to need everybody, and that's the mentality that everybody else has. And the defense came out there and stood up to the challenge, and I'm looking forward to, you know, getting back out there in practice and building from what we did today, and looking forward to the next challenge.
The one position that seems to still be unsettled, that's very competitive, is the center position. A lot of guys got reps there tonight. Luke Bowenka, one of them ended up getting hurt tonight, but Mike Brewster, Jock McClendon, Brandon Linder are all in the mix. What does the team think about that? Players in the locker room, is that something that's talked about? I see a smile.
If it is talked about, you really can't tell, you know, and I think it's so good because they're all friends, you know, and they're all, you know how old linemen are, they stick together and they're all very tight knit. So, they understand that it is a competition at the end of the day, and everything we do, we compete. But at the same time, they're out there helping each other and rooting the next one on. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, we're all behind whoever, you know, fills in for that spot. But, you know, it's kind of hard to tell.
This next game against Detroit next Friday night is typically the big warm-up for the regular season. Starters will play into the third quarter. You get more true game planning in this third preseason game. And the best part about this week, usually it signals the end of training camp.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, training camp can get pretty monotonous, you know. And I feel like we as a whole team and as a unit have had a great training camp. And, you know, I'm just excited to continue to get better every day. Obviously, we'll get to pay more emphasis on game planning and who we're actually about to face next Friday and kind of hone in on the details. And I'm looking forward to it because, you know, we can come out here and get better like we did today and carry that into the next game and then have more time to prepare for a team the right way. You know, I'm just excited about the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Mercedes. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's bring in wide receiver Mike Brown. Come on in, Mike. Hey, thanks for coming on the Jaguars post-game report. I want to get your thoughts on the young wide receiver Marquise Lee a little bit because tonight he was able to get his first catches. Talk about his progress.
Yeah, I think he's doing a really good job. You know, one thing that's really encouraging is that he's very eager to learn. He's a hard-working kid. You know, he never complains, and you know, he comes out there, like I said, to work every day, and he's always trying to learn something new. So, you know, all of us are in there working together. We're learning from each other and sharing with each other what we know. And we're just going to continue to grow as a unit.
All right, I'm going to bring up last week just for a talking point here because your performance last week, I watched it on film. You had the drops, but you bounced back. And there was another play in particular that I wanted to talk about because it was a rollout by Blake Bortles to his left in which he did not throw you the ball. And you didn't throw your hands up in disgust, but you were able to turn up the field and block the safety. I think it was Major Wright and got a really good block on him. Those are the kind of things I think that you can set an example for a young player like Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. And how important is that to you to make sure that those guys see that?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, Coach Sullivan always preaches to, you know, whenever somebody else has the ball, somebody else catches the ball, you turn and block the man that's guarding you. So, you know, just like if I was the one catching the ball, I want somebody else to turn up and block for me. I'm going to do the same. So that's one thing that I think our receiver in core is really trying to, you know, bring it to our identity, you know, just working hard, working to all the way to the whistle, through the whistle, and finishing.
How nice was it to have the offensive tempo established? And it certainly didn't hurt that special teams played a big part in that because they gave you guys the ball back pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, I think we're doing a much better job each and every, even in practice, each and every day in practice and from week to week in these games of establishing a tempo. You know, that's what we want to be. We want to be a fast-moving unit, try to get the defense, you know, breathing hard a little bit and take advantage of some of their weaknesses. So I think we're doing a better job now, and we still have a long ways to go.
I can tell you, you're making our play-by-play guy on radio, Frank Franz, you're in stripes now. You're making him tired with the tempo.
Good, man.
All right, thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's bring in the dot-commer right now, my favorite guy.
He's as consistent as he gets, isn't he? Mike Brown.
Yeah, he really is. Mike Brown is consistent, and he's one of those guys that John, when you talk about when it comes to coaches, that they trust.
Right.
Because they know that no matter where they line him up at, he's going to line up and he's going to play at a fairly high level.
I'm sure you play with guys like this, too. Always makes it hard to cut him, right? I mean, he's a guy who came in as a tryout guy. Every year when you break down the roster, you sort of think, well, maybe Mike Brown's not. And then you stop and you watch him play and you go, how are they going to cut this guy they trust so much? So that's just credit to him.
All right, so your overall impressions, because I haven't really talked much about this, because last week after the first preseason game against the Bucs, there was some talk, okay, maybe Blake Bortles is ready to start.
Right.
But Gus Bradley came out this week and said that Chad Henne's going to play the first half. That changed, I think, because of the number of snaps that happened into the game. But what is your thinking along the lines of the quarterback position, Chad Henne and Blake Bortles, and what do you think it should be?
First of all, you're right. Gus just said they made the change because he had had enough reps. They had seen what they wanted out of the first team. So far, Blake keeps on making strong arguments. That's what they wanted. They wanted him to come in and force their hand at some point. I don't think he's forced it yet, but a couple more assignments like this. Even Blake's on the podium just now. They didn't show him anything in terms of anything exotic. You got to get through that a little bit before you put the kid in as a starter, I think. So I think that's kind of what they're waiting for as much as anything, to give him a chance to sort of see something against something that's not vanilla. That's a key step.
All right, the play that really impressed me, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but they were running their no huddle. He looks to his right, and Mike Brown didn't have the play. He's got the awareness to make sure that Mike Brown has the play. He pump fakes to Mike and then turns back to the left and throws that beautiful dropped-in ball in the vertical route down that left boundary.
Yeah, I mean, that's NFL stuff, and that's advanced-level NFL stuff that I keep saying about Blake. Yes, we haven't seen some of the stuff that you want to see against complex things, but against the things that he's seen, he's as much looked the part as you could possibly look the part after 2 weeks. So, again, what you want is for him to start making this an organic decision where everybody sort of gets it that this is what's got to happen. I don't think he's there yet, but, you know, every time you think about not writing him after a game, he plays well enough that I'm writing the story about him. So a better storyline than I imagined out of him after what we saw in the offseason. Huge, huge, huge progress.
All right, thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, Jeff.
That'll do it for us here on Jaguars.com, the post-game report. The Jaguars end up going down to the Chicago Bears 20-19.